My friends, I have some insane news that has happened today. If you haven't already heard about it, well, let's start back in early May. It was leaked that a draft vote was leaked that the Supreme Court was planning to overrule Roe versus Wade. And today it has been announced that they have done exactly that. I do have some conflicting information if it was a 5-4 or a 6-3 vote, but it does seem that the conservative supermajority for the Supreme Court has indeed overturned Roe versus Wade, which is ending 50 years of abortion rights in this country. Now, this is going to create quite the firestorm, as we saw just from the draft leak. And we've got a lot to cover here, so let's get started. I've got several articles pulled up and a few things to talk to you guys about. This is more or less just a pop-up stream. I am here by myself. I do not have my co-host Jordan with me. This is the first one that I'll be doing by myself, first time talking by myself, so please forgive me for any pauses. I will try to keep this as paced as possible. But turning over to CNBC, Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, ending 50 years of federal abortion rights. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision on Friday, overturned Roe v. Wade, the landmark ruling that established the constitutional right to abortion in the U.S. in 1973. The court's controversial but expected rulings, because the leak, gives individual states the power to set their own abortion laws without concern of running afoul of Roe, which had permitted abortions during the first two trimesters of pregnancy. Almost half the states are expected to outlaw or severely restrict abortion as a result of the Supreme Court's decision, which is related to a highly restrictive new Mississippi abortion law. The laws will affect tens of millions of people around the country who may have to cross state lines to seek reproductive health care. It is important to note that their ruling has not banned abortion in the country. It has just overturned it as a constitutional right. We'll get to a little bit more of that in a minute here, but essentially it's defaulted it to the states. Some states are completely banning it. Others are limiting it. And then others will probably open it up, to be honest, to first and second trimester abortions if they don't already have it at this point. Let's see here. Supporters of abortion rights immediately condemned the ruling, while abortion opponents praised a decision they had long hoped for and worked to ensure. Protesters descended on the Supreme Court on Friday to speak out both for and against a decision that will upend decades of precedent in the U.S. Make no mistake, this is a monumental and historical time period to be living in, and don't expect these waters to be calm for any time to come. This is quite the upset. It's going to be rough, guys. This decision coming in on a Friday means that over the weekend, the majority of people are likely to not be at work, so they're not too busy to go protest. So expect to see many protests this weekend, and there's already threats of it. I've got a couple of articles to go through later with you, but just note that Friday is probably the worst day they could possibly do this. With church services coming on Sundays, they are likely to be targeted. There were already targets for pregnancy health centers and churches after the draft leak, and that was just a potential outcome, and now we have the actual outcome. It's going to get messy. And this is probably the biggest catalyst that we could have for any type of infighting for the country, or in other words, a civil war, only because this is over a very touchy subject of moral consequences versus rights. And we haven't quite had anything like this before since the days of slavery, which was largely the central focus for the last civil war that our country went through. But back to the article here. Justice Samuel Alito, as expected, wrote the majority opinion that tossed out Roe, as well as a 1992 Supreme Court decision upholding abortion rights in a case known as Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Alito was joined in that judgment by four other conservatives on the high court. Chief Justice Roberts voted with the majority to uphold the Mississippi abortion restrictions, but did not approve of overturning Roe altogether. The majority also included three justices appointed by former President Donald Trump, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. The three the court's three liberal justices filed a dissenting opinion to the ruling, which quickly drew protesters to the Supreme Court building on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. "We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled," Alito wrote. "The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision, including the one on which the defenders of Roe and Casey now chiefly rely, which is the 14th Amendment. The Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment," Alito wrote. "The provision has been held to guarantee some rights that are not mentioned in the Constitution, but any such rights must be deeply rooted in this nation's history and tradition and implicit in the concept of ordered liberty," he added. "It is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives," Alito wrote. In their scathing joint dissent, the court's liberal justices wrote, "The majority has overruled Roe and Casey for one and only one reason, because it has always despised them, and now it has the votes to discard them. The majority thereby substitutes a rule by judges for the rule of law." Of course they've despised the ruling. They've despised it for 50 years because they believe that it is morally reprehensible that, something like that be not only permitted, but legally allowed, ending the life of infants before they're born, before they even get a chance. And doing so in the name of health and reproductive rights for women, and propping up this narrative that it's better for them to make those decisions. It's not one that I've ever understood or supported. And you know, you do get into the really trying cases where you're talking about rape and incest and the potential death of the mother. And the one that really gets me is when they believe that the baby won't be viable after birth or is likely to die. Is there just no way to know that? I cannot remember off the top of my head which country it was. I actually believe it was Poland. They eliminated Down syndrome in their country, but they did so by testing unborn infants for the signs that their genetics would result in Down syndrome and therefore aborted all of them. That's how they ended it. They just killed all of them. That's the end of Down syndrome in Poland. Some of the dangers that come with this. But continuing on here, today's court, that is, does not think there is anything of constitutional significance attached to a woman's control of her body and the path of her life, it said. A state can force her to bring pregnancy to term, even at the steepest personal and familial costs. This is more of the dissenting opinion from the liberal side of things. Now, what exactly does this mean? What states are going to be affected as this goes on? There are states, and we reported on this previously, but there are states with trigger laws, and we'll get a little bit more here from CBS News. But states with trigger laws, 13 states have so-called trigger laws that would restrict abortion with Roe overturned. Arkansas, Idaho, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, and Wyoming. Some of these states' laws would go into effect immediately following a Supreme Court decision, while others would kick in after 30 days. Let it be known, I believe Missouri has already outright banned abortion. They did that today as soon as it was announced. In several cases, the bans take effect once the state attorney general or another official certifies that the Supreme Court decision reverses Roe, but that could happen swiftly following the court's decision. Missouri's attorney general, Eric Schmidt, issued an opinion within minutes saying his state's ban is now in effect, outlawing abortion except in cases of medical emergency. "With this attorney general opinion, my office has effectively ended abortion in Missouri, becoming the first state in the country to do so following the court's ruling," Schmidt said in a statement. Lawmakers in Nebraska attempted to pass a trigger ban this year, but it failed in the state Senate back in April. Now, there are states with 6 week ban, states with an 8 week ban, and then 15 week. I'm just trying to get their names in here. But we'll just read through it. This stuff is important to know what's going on, especially if you live in one of these states or don't live in them. But anti-abortion rights advocates have been pressing states to enact legislation banning the procedure once an embryonic heartbeat is detected after about 6 weeks of pregnancy. 11 states have done so, though nearly all of the measures have been blocked. Georgia, Idaho, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. Only the Texas law is in effect, as the Supreme Court last year declined to block it from being enforced. The measure has a novel enforcement mechanism that tasks private citizens, not state officials, with enforcing it by filing lawsuits in state court against anyone who performs an abortion or aids or abets them. Its design has inspired bills in other GOP-led states that mirror the Texas measure. And for that, if anybody wants to look that up, that is the heartbeat bill. Now, we have a state with an 8-week ban. Missouri Governor Mike Parsons, a Republican, signed into law a bill that made abortions illegal after 8 weeks of pregnancy. A federal district court blocked their measure from taking effect, and a 3-judge panel on the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals declined to lift the lower court's injunction. The full 8th Circuit had arguments in the challenge to the law brought by Planned Parenthood last year. So a lot of these stuff are probably going to see the light of day again, if not brought into policy pretty quickly. Now, there are states that have abortion bans that predate Roe v. Wade. My understanding of those is that they probably become reenacted as if they were never removed after the decision of Roe v. Wade. And then there are some that have abortion enshrined in their constitutions. So these states will likely have to go through a process if they so wish to remove it. The 9 states here are Alaska, California, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Montana, and New Jersey. Also following that, there's states with laws that are protecting the right to abortion. And in this, basically the country is ending up split pretty 50-50 here on this. And moving forward, couldn't tell you what this is going to look like. I stated at the beginning of this, there's probably going to be some states that just allow abortion at any time, and then you will have states that outright ban it for any reason. And this is going to be contested and protested all summer long. So, you know, we just can't seem to get a nice summer these days anymore. But that is what we get for living in a historic time. It's going to be turbulent. This is going to be a very turbulent ride for everybody. The New York Post asking what happens now that Roe v. Wade is overturned. They're noting that Missouri is the first to act on this. Checking to see if they've got anything else in here regarding Mississippi that ABC didn't have that I was reading from. They're just noting some of the protests here. Now, pro-choice groups have called for a summer of rage after Roe v. Wade abortion reversal. This is from the New York Post, and this is some of the fallout that I'm talking about, and we definitely need to be in prayers for Supreme Court justices who have already been threatened and had people showing up at their houses, especially Brett Kavanaugh. He was in the news recently, and me and Jordan discussed that on a podcast one or two episodes ago. But New York Post writes, law enforcement agencies across the nation are bracing for an explosion of unrest from pro-choice groups. Sorry, they're pro-abortion groups. It's not pro-choice. Pro-abortion. They want abortion to exist. You have pro-abortion. You have pro-abortion and you have anti-abortion. I don't. Somebody gave me something to think about the pro-choice versus pro-life argument, and they're kind of ambiguous as they are. I mean, we've culturally kind of determined what they mean, but as far as the actual words involved in the titles, it doesn't really make sense. So pro-abortion, anti-abortion, that's it. That's all there is. You either believe in it or you don't. So these groups, after the release on Friday, they have been outraged by the decision. Militant pro-abortion groups like Jane's Revenge and others have urged sympathizers to unleash a summer of rage across the country. Quote, now the leash is off, the group said in June 14th communique in anticipation of the court's action, and we will make it as hard as possible for the campaign of oppression to continue. We have demonstrated in the past month how easy and fun it is to attack. I'm not very familiar with this group, but guys, there were plenty of firebombings and defacing of churches and pregnancy, life centers. It's pretty vile out there. And this is the result of a nation raising children that can't handle a decision made by the government, and they can't do things peaceably. It has to involve hurting or harming others. We are a nation of toddlers at this point. The threats issued online and through pamphlet and flyer campaigns drew attention from the White House this week. Asked specifically about threats from Jane's Revenge, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre acknowledged the potential for nationwide tumult. Violence and destruction of property have no place in our country under any circumstances, and the president denounces this action, she told reporters. Actions like this are completely unacceptable regardless of our politics, and we continue to denounce any violence of threats. So guys, just continue to be praying for cities that are going to see these protests, and you know, really praying that they do stay peaceful. We do live in a country where people are allowed to protest things that they don't like, and there are plenty of people out there that don't like this ruling from the Supreme Court. However, we really do want everybody to be safe and to not be harmed during this time. I'm still kind of in shock that this has happened. I didn't think that this would happen during my lifetime, to be completely honest. It's a monumental moment in taking the step, in my opinion, in the right direction to valuing life. There's so much that comes out of this that I think really hollowed moral values in this country, when life could be terminated before it had a chance to say anything else. Millions and millions of lives at this point cut tragically short, and quite easily the greatest genocide I think that the world has ever seen has come out of America and other countries that practice this on the regular. And it's pretty well known that it is a very, very small percentage of abortions that are actually done for medical emergency for the baby or the mother, or out of rape or incest. The large majority are done out of convenience, for decisions that two adults made, consenting. At least we're talking about the consenting ones. And you have two consenting adults that decide to take an action that leads to a life, and then they terminate the life as if it was a mistake. And this is the moral dilemma in the country, and this is going to create, even if you thought there was a rift or there was tumult before with these political differences, these ideology differences, this is what's going to take the cake for now. I do have some other articles pulled up here. So back June 7th, this was posted from Live Action, stating that pregnancy centers were under attack, New York Center firebomb, North Carolina Center vandalized as violence rises. This type of stuff started happening just from the draft leak back in May. Jane's Revenge mentioned again here as vowing to unleash additional violence against pro-life groups. Stay safe. Stay aware. This is going to get serious over the weekend. I'm just going to predict that right now. I really hope that it doesn't, but I couldn't be realistic and tell you otherwise that it's not going to get ugly, at least through this next weekend and probably for a good amount of the summer, up until the country's midterm elections have wrapped up. And it is also likely we will see this again for the next presidential election. But Daily Wire reports, as of today, that the DHS warned Catholic Church about a night of rage following Roe laid out in manifesto. So, the Department of Homeland Security reportedly shared intelligence with the Catholic Church about a night of rage following the possible overturn of Roe v. Wade that will target churches and pregnancy centers. Newsweek obtained an internal document from the Diocese of Stockton in California directed to the clergy, parish, and pastoral staff. The document obtained by Newsweek reportedly shows that the DHS agent Jesse Rangel warned the California Diocese of an extremist group manifesto that calls for a tax on churches that will begin at 8 p.m. on the day that the court releases an opinion in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. It is widely believed that the court will overturn Roe v. Wade, and following the leak of an internal draft opinion indicating the court would do so. So I believe it sounds like this article actually came out before the release was made. So this probably came out this morning, and they have no idea how true that is. Now, our President Biden has addressed this and has some remarks that I do take issue with. And I wanted to read a few of those to you here as we close out. But one of his remarks is, quote, they have expressly taken away a constitutional right from the American people, and they didn't limit it. They simply took it away. Okay, first of all, this is a lie. It's a complete lie. He's gaslighting. Gosh, he's an inept president to the highest degree. Our president has given the country a bold-faced lie. The SCOTUS decision to overturn Roe v. Wade is only deferring the abortion to the states in place of the federal government or as a constitutional right. In fact, you know, he's calling it a constitutional right, and the whole reason it's gone right now is because they deemed it not to be a constitutional right, because it's not in the Constitution, and it's a pretty far stretch to get that by implication. He also stated that with Roe gone, the health and life of women are now at risk, a decision with broad national consequences that most Americans of faith and backgrounds found acceptable and has been the law of the land for most Americans today. You know what? This is true. It has been the law of the land for the majority, for all of my life and the majority of most of our parents' life, the generation before us. It's been 50 years, though. The process of pregnancy and birth has not changed. What science can observe has changed, you know, from brainwaves to heartbeats. And the argument that a fetus is not alive, it doesn't hold water anymore. This is outdated information. This law is this constitutional right. This law is outdated. It's antiquated, and it needs to be updated. And I think returning it to the states to determine this, per the population's vote, is the right answer to go with for now. I mean, ultimately, I think the answer is that this should not be allowed. Maybe in some extreme cases, I think there could be some personal decisions that are made there for mothers that are involved whose life's at risk, and especially if they've got other kids. But that's a much finer conversation to have with many more gray areas than what we're talking about here today. The viability argument is also losing water for me. I saw some people on Facebook that I know, and first of all, they're losing their minds. But second of all, they just claim that because it's not viable, then it's not alive. And you know what? The problem with that is that technology and medical knowledge continue to advance and change. And should they ever reach the point that a baby is viable at the time of conception, on the day of, the hour of, then the viability argument is no longer valid, and you can't go aborting babies because now science has allowed for them to live. Kind of like how it allows for sick people to live, how it allows people that are in a coma or mentally handicapped, anybody that's an infant, a toddler, a children, an old person, any of these people who can't actually help themselves. For me, I don't know how you get around them in this argument that they're viable, because as soon as they're not able to take care of themselves in some form or fashion, especially if you're on like any type of breathing machine or something, that any type of equipment that is keeping you alive or keeping you from causing something that will kill you, like pacemakers, all of these people are being kept alive by external sources. I don't think that you can make a convincing argument for viability without looping these people into it and then killing off a large portion of population simply because you consider them to be not viable and to be a burden on society. And I think that that is a tragic mistake. Continuing on, President Biden also claimed that this was a tragic error by the Supreme Court to take away a constitutional right. Again, not a right. They determined that it was not a constitutional right, but you're going to keep calling it that. Doctors will be criminalized for doing their duty to care. I'm sorry, abortion is not care, at least not for the one being aborted. He also stated that it's a sad day for the country, in my view. Doesn't mean the fight is over. The only way we can secure a woman's right to choose and the balance that existed is for Congress to restore the protections of Roe versus Wade as federal law. And he goes on to say that he will defend women's rights to contraception and medications, saying that some states are going to attempt to block mail, like mail-in prescriptions and birth control, that they're going to be able to search people's medicine cabinets, and they're going to use data from women's apps to track down their process and where they're at as far as potentially being pregnant. Which, quite honestly, if states do go to that point to where they can start blocking mail or going in on stuff, and some of this is going to become... Some of it could, depending on the states and what they do. If you're talking about like the morning after pill and stuff like that, if they consider that to be within the realm of an abortion, then yeah, that stuff will be outlawed. And if you have that in a state where it's illegal, just like anything else that's illegal in a state, you can't have it there. But for them to be tracking women's apps and blocking mail and stuff like that, this is all going to get taken by in a case-by-case basis, and we will be here at Resident Skeptics to cover it. Biden also said that politicians cannot interfere between the decisions that should be made between a woman and her doctor. I find this extremely ironic considering about 6-7 months ago, Mr. President, you attempted to force anyone that worked in a company or business with more than 100 people to get vaccinated or else lose their job, aka you were trying to force them against their will. You didn't leave that up to them and their doctors. You just went for it and were going to force it on most Americans in this country, quite honestly. So yeah, extremely ironic that you would say such an absurd thing, but I can't say that I'm surprised. Biden also commented saying that I call on everyone, no matter how deeply they care about this decision, to protest peacefully. No intimidation. Violence is never the answer. Threats and intimidation are not speech. We must stand against violence in any form. This is by far the best thing that he had to say, and the most coherent thing in the speech as well. And I totally agree with him on this. If you are against this, you are fully allowed to go out and protest, but that does not give you the right to act in violence or to issue threats to people, because that is not protected speech. In fact, the first half of that is actions. So that's about the only good thing that I really got out of his comments and his speech, is that he is calling and condemning for violence, and he's calling for peace. And I agree, for everybody that's out there that is going to protest that. For people who are not protesting and are celebrating, you stay safe, be wary about where you're going, where you're at, what you say, be mindful of your surroundings. This is going to reach peak fury from both sides. This, like I stated earlier, this might be a catalyst for something of a civil war, depending on who you guys listen to on the news. The idea has been tossed around a few times that we are so split as a country that it doesn't seem possible for us within this generation or even the next generation to come together as one solid unit again. And the idea has been floated around for quite a while now that we need a peaceful divorce and a split. And this is probably one of the best candidates for a catalyst that I have seen as far as it being a moral versus rights dilemma between two opposing mindsets in this country. However, we are not divided by physical borders anymore of North and South. Many states are quite mixed. There are very few states that are majority conservative versus liberal. And all I can say is temperatures are going to be running high. Keep a lookout. Be safe. Protest peacefully if that is what you are out there to do. And if you are in support of this ban, congratulations. This has been a long time coming, long fight. And looking forward to seeing where else this might go, and what the individual states in this country will do with the power that should have been theirs since the beginning. We will be back next week with more to come, and I'm sure a weekend of reports to cover.